On 2112 Alisana Street, you will find Christopher Schaefer Clothier. For 15 years, Mr. Schaefer and company have run a world-class haberdashery in the heart of Baltimore City. Offering second-to-none tailoring of his own incredible brand, Mr. Schaefer is more than meets the eye when it comes to suit making. Don't be another Baltimorean, be a finely styled Baltimorean with Christopher Schaefer Clothier. All right, awesome. All right, welcome Baltimore to another episode of Sanity Lounge. We have, I'll start off by saying we have Mr. Christopher Schaefer in the lounge for the third time with another band.
Love this place.
Yeah, it's we love you.
A
we
supporter
love having
of the
you.
Show. Thank right, you. Thank very you. Important
supporter of the show. Of the show. We have the band To The Moon, which I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about, but that's because you guys haven't really played in the last 15 years together, something like that. We'll get into it. And then it was a trio, and now it's spawned into a foursome.
Right. We refer to quartet.
So we're going to find out all about this band and how they started and how they got to where they are now. But we have Austin, Ryan, Alex, Chris.
Yes.
Brian.
Right.
Good job.
So, you guys just fucking kicked some ass.
Yeah, first of all, welcome back, Mr. Chris. Always a pleasure to have you, and we always appreciate you and all you do for the city. And I mean that, you know, because you do a lot for the city. And
Brian doesn't lie.
Yeah, well, I don't lie here, usually. but what a great fucking band. And let me ask you this. So Woe alluded that you've had an interesting history, and I didn't. You had Glassfault in here last time.
Yep.
You mentioned To The Moon kind of in passing. What's the history of this band exactly?
Well, we've been together for years. We've done two records so far. We're going to be working on some new stuff here soon. We were a trio, like you were saying, and now there's four of us. So I'm trying to think of how long has it been since we started?
I think 2001.
2001?
Yeah, 2001.
Damn.
Wow.
2001.
Yeah. And took us a long time to make records.
Well, I mean,
and has there never been vocals?
Correct.
Nice. What a great choice. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
I mean, how do you describe yourselves?
Non-vocal instrumental.
Drum and bass rock fusion.
Drum and bass rock fusion. It's fucking
psychedelic.
It's high energy. I'll tell
space
you that.
Space surf.
Even though it almost doesn't. It doesn't seem like it's high energy, but it is. Like, you play fast. You all play fast. It's really good.
Yeah,
really good stuff.
And
like
you
it.
Said surf, Austin. You just mentioned surf.
Dick Dale.
I'm up there thinking yeah. Dick oh, Dale yeah. influence yeah, yeah. in there. You know, like, it's really, it's my style. Like, I fucking loved it, man. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, great Thanks. Band.
So, Brian and Chris are, you guys are original members all the way back
OG.
To 2001.
OG,
correct.
OG, yes.
Nice. Known this guy for a long time.
And how did you guys meet? Like,
so I was in a band that was struggling with a drummer, and we had two finale shows and needed somebody to fill in, and had to work with Chris for weeks, maybe a week and a half to catch up with that, and we ended up playing this Rock Deep in the Jungle show.
As To The Moon, or this is...
As To The Moon, and it was more of a DJ drum and bass, legit raver. And
nice.
We had to fill that up, and we kind of created some tracks that were blending live music with that DJ influence, and it was fun and, you know, rampant. So we just started spending long nights at the Our House Studios.
Yeah, nice. That's interesting because that speaks to what it is. It's like the origin of it was DJ music with drum and bass, and you guys were really improvising, and that's what it feels like. Like, I mean, an evolution of that. Like, it makes sense that that's where it kind of started.
That's where it started. Yep.
Yeah. Amanda will dig this. She'll be into this.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then, so how did Mr. Austin and Alex This prick, let me tell you, on a side note, it's not, it's about you guys, but this fucker loves watching me sweat. It's incredible.
I can fuck him up very easily.
Because we've been together for 30 years, much like a married couple, and I am just not good with things, and he knows all of it. Yeah. So, you know, it's incredible.
I think we're all starting to sweat a little bit, boys, right? Nice. So they had their original guitar player, who was also coincidentally named Alex.
Wow.
He was out of the picture for a while when I moved to Baltimore, which was around 2014. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the time, I was looking for a new project. I really wanted to play like dancey rock music. I was listening to a lot of Brothers Past, Disco Biscuit, stuff like that.
Oh shit.
And so I put an ad on Craigslist and this guy hit me up and he said, "Hey, listen, I'm a custom suit maker in Baltimore. I have my own loft with a full backline set up." And I was like, "All right, well, I'm gonna go jam with this guy, even if it's terrible. Right. It seems like a, you know." So I lugged my cabinet and everything down there. And we didn't talk at all. If I recall correctly, we just set up and played
for like an hour.
The three of us,
and
we just jammed.
Holy shit!
And it was great. Yeah. And it was like, I definitely recommend people do that if you're auditioning people for your band. Like, don't make friends with them first. Like, see if it works musically first.
Right, right.
The Tristan and lowercase pairing.
Well, Alex, real quick, step back. What was the impetus of you moving to Baltimore? From where? Like,
so I'm from PG County originally, and I'd been living in New York City for like 6-7 years, trying to be a rock star.
I got you. Okay.
You know, didn't work out exactly. Well, I wound up back in Maryland. My relationship broke up, so I was looking for like a fresh start.
Gotcha.
Had a bunch of friends in Baltimore.
And this is back in 2014-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
So from 01 to 2014, it was the Schaefer Ryan show.
And Alex.
It was
The other Alex.
Oh, the other Alex.
Yes, right.
I'm sitting there going, "What the fuck? He just said 24, but I forgot about the other Alex." All right.
So an interesting part about how Austin plays into this is that the original Alex left the band and we had a pause in between, and Austin actually came out and tried out, and we had him come out, and I had forgotten about that when I re-met him recently, and it was just neat how the full cycle came around and
came out and tried out for the band.
Tried out for the
band.
Didn't
make it.
No, he made it. We just didn't continue doing anything.
Right.
So we called him up like 55 years later, and here he is.
Right.
Yeah, Austin used to jam with my little brother, so I've known him for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect. Like, I love the two guitar attack. It's like it works. It's
It fills in a lot.
And are you a local guy, Austin?
Yeah. Grew up in Essex. Finally moved to Falston a couple years back.
Remember.
I'm gonna stare at these guys over here.
Yeah, you can move the mics around and do whatever you need to do.
I like it. So Austin, I'm local. I've been here forever.
Austin, you're gonna break the predator head behind
you. Oh,
yeah.
Oh my goodness,
the guy's gonna bite you.
And then the guy next to you will bite you. Yeah. Just so you know. So just relax, baby. So
when I played with them before, Chris gave me a CD. He said, "Here, listen to this, learn a couple songs." He gave me a couple to learn. So since then, I've been a fan. I've listened to this CD over and over and over. I have it in with all my tracks that I'm listening to.
Right.
So when I saw an ad for looking for a guitar player, and I opened it up and it was the album,
that's serendipity.
I was like, "Hey, I learned some of your songs," and that worked out.
That's awesome.
So, how much? I mean, I feel like it seems like you're mutant. It doesn't seem like it's improvised, as in you're just fucking around. But how much of it do you fucking can you just go off? Can you guys just go off in little tangents here and there?
Yeah, we do that sometimes. Sometimes with tail ends of songs, we'll jam them out. But everything that we played here was all. Structured.
Right. And who is the main assembler everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
Even back
the
in the
time,
beginning
yeah.
time.
A lot of it
beginning
from
times.
Improvisation was sort of the start of it. Like, a lot of times we'll just jam and then kind of look for these nuggets in there and then build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, they're long composite. Like, that's a lot of, like, you know, like, you guys put the work in as far as, they're not dull songs. There's a lot going on. You know what I mean? Like, they're constantly changing. And then with the two guitar attack, it gives you that, like, out of nowhere, it's like, you know, and you're like, holy shit. Like,
adding the second guitar is, that's been recent, because I ran into Alex again in Towson, and I was like, what are you doing musically? And he said he wasn't doing much. And I was like, you got to come down. So I figured it fills in so much by having a second guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've traditionally would have guitar going with stereo delay, and that was kind of the sound for a long time. And now we can actually have two guitarists playing different things, and it just, it really fills in the sound. So
what is stereo delay?
Having two amps going, mm-hmm. and then there's a delay, so it's kind of pings the sound between each amp.
That's for a single guitar?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives the illusion of two guitars?
It fills it in.
It gives an effect, right. I think it like fills in the gaps a little bit. Right?
Nice.
You have stage right, stage left going, pinging, you know, the amps are on opposite.
Right, right, right.
7-10 pin.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I mean, I don't know some things.
It made it hell to try to learn the songs when it sounds like there's
happening. They seem technical, so it doesn't seem easy.
Austin, we're going to start with you over here. What are your musical influences?
So the Fish got me playing guitar.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the reason I play. I found Disco Biscuits after that.
Yeah,
that got me into... You could play it the electronically. Barber. Yeah.
So John. did you start playing later? How old are you?
Yeah, I started playing just out of high school.
Yeah.
I'm 49 now.
49? Yeah. Nice.
John the Barber.
Yeah.
He's the man, man. Disco Biscuits.
Mm.
So you're a jam band
cat.
Well, that makes sense. And that's why I love this band. Ryan, what about you?
Hey, was really into punk rock growing up and skate punk, you know, stuff like that. That's why it got me to pick up the bass. And
like, give me an example of skate punk.
I mean, back in the day, you know, you
like Suicidal Tendencies or shit like
sure,
that.
Sure, you know, the whole early 90s Warped Tour.
Oh, okay, 90s, right? Okay, yeah, okay, I got you.
90s, you know, got me going. I'm an early 80s kid, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't anything particular. It was just the scenes. It was the feel. It was the mood. It was what I was doing action wise towards what I was listening to. What kind of music amped me up more? You know,
right.
What was a natural high with what I was doing, whether it be riding bikes or skateboarding or working.
Right.
You know, it's so just like that. And got into some metal bands and, you know, really dug that. And some metal bands morphed into DJ culture and found some hardcore like jungle music and, you know, old school reggae drum and bass and dub stuff like that. And
and are you playing bass this whole time, like on this, like in the, like,
correct,
in life?
Sure, yeah, right. I'm always playing bass.
Okay.
I've been feeling that since day one, you know.
Is that the only is it the only instrument? Did you start on the drums?
No, I started on the bass. I didn't have money for a bass, so I bought a guitar and put four strings on it and tuned it down and had that for a while and worked out something with Bill's Music, and they got me a chunker and modified that. I started doing some wood carving and stuff, started making my own basses in high school
for really?
Art projects and stuff, recorded with that before. It's just kind of a novelty, but...
Did you make the bass you're playing right now?
No, but my main goal is to intervene my woodworking skills with music playing, and I think that'll be Ready Player One kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that'll be awesome.
It'll be very neat to have a piece that you know, it'll fill in the whole DIY cycle. So,
nice.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
cool.
But I just really been feeling the drum and bass feel and you know, jazz and soul and reggae is always popping, and... It's never been a particular thing. It's just been a mood, and those are my drugs. You know,
nice.
What time of the night? What time of the year? What time of you feel? You know,
it's, right?
Who are you with? Stuff like that. So, this type of music always didn't really pinpoint something. It was always soundtrack music. It was always based on, hey man, we're having a good time this week. You know, let's write music about it. Without lyrics. You know,
it's good stuff, Alex.
Yes.
How you doing,
babe? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Nice. I'm great, babe. So what are your musical influences? And is guitar your only instrument?
Guitar is not my only instrument. I started on violin, so I'm like classically trained violinist from about fifth grade.
Oh snap!
And got into guitar in like middle school. Got into skateboarding and guitar because this was like the mid '90s. So Nirvana, Offspring, nice. Green Day, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Megadeth, all those kinds of things were spinning. I had a cousin that talked me into doing one of those like 12 CDs for 1 cent thing or whatever.
Columbia House.
My parents were pissed, but I got a lot of really awesome records from that.
I've never paid for anything. From Columbia
House.
Yeah,
how did those fuckers stay in business?
They didn't.
I don't know anybody that paid. My
cousin Mike, he turned me on. Rage Against the Machine. He would dub tapes for me at his house on Christmas. And I would listen to him in the car on the way home. Fugazi. All kinds of awesome stuff. And then in high school, I taught myself to play guitar at around eighth grade. Formed a band with a buddy of mine that I'd known for a long time who also was like a multi-instrumentalist. And his dad was a musician, so he had like a basement full of gear kind of stuff. Nice. And he paid for us to go in the studio 1 year as a gift for, it was like a Christmas gift for his son who was the bass player in my band at that point. And I was already writing songs at that point, so we wound up doing like a 12 track album, like a grunge album. The band was called Savoir Faire. After high school, I went to University of Maryland. I played in a couple of local bands. I wound up moving to New York to try to play more music, and mostly up there I played in metal bands. I played in this band called Gwynblade for a while. And I this band called Elizabeth Keeling that was like a post-hardcore band. So it was very melodic and technical. It was like Coheed and Cambria meets, I'm trying to think of something, I don't know, At the Drive-In or something like that. There was like screaming and singing and breakdowns and all technical, melodic guitar stuff.
Read sheet music, like guitar sheet?
No, music? Not anymore.
No.
No. I forgot how to read music completely.
Wow.
But in college I got into drum and bass. I remember there's this one song by this DJ, Aphrodite. I think it might have been from the D.C. area. It was a remix of Ready or Not by the Fugees. Mm-hmm. And that one song like turned me on to drum and bass as a genre. Kind of got into dance music too. So, all that led, so by the time I met these dudes, had a wide variety of influences. Always listened to hip hop too, but yeah.
Yeah, it's wild because between the whole band, you guys literally cover pretty much every genre. Like, as far as influence wise, your jam band style, your metal punk, your metal grunge, and jazz.
And
somebody said jazz over there and classical. Chris is everything. You told us, a lot of your influences. Yeah. So I just feel like.
Do you still play the violin? You can still play the violin.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't do it very often, but I think about it a lot. But, I don't know if that counts, but
you have a violin.
I do have a violin. Yeah, and it's crazy that I can still remember stuff on there. That's what I love about music. It's so wild how you can remember songs you learned like 20 plus years ago. And
It would be cool adding a violin track.
We did. So there I played some violin on our last album that we did in 2017.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, that was me.
Wasn't me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, Chris, as far as bands go, you have Glassfolt and To the Moon. You say you guys are going into the studio to do another album here soon.
We're going to start recording. We kind of want to hibernate a bit over the winter and work on doing some writing and recording. We have a whole Pro Tools rig set up at the shop, so it's going to be we're just writing and recording. It's a good time to do it over the winter. So this was good to get out and play tonight and be able to record it and then go in and just start working on new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, is your stuff on Spotify?
I know it's on Apple Music.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Because I looked on Spotify. I couldn't find the damn thing. But I'm a little bit technically, stupid, as it were. So that's why I asked, because, it's possible that I just couldn't find
it. Yeah, it's there.
But Yeah, well, that's good. So, and that would be your third album.
Did you spell
album.
Two wrong?
The number.
T-O. Right. T-O-O.
I wrote T-O-O. The, no. So that would be the third album, though, if you...
Well, that's what we're... Yeah, we have two already, and we're... But we're talking about the idea of just releasing singles, possibly, of doing that for a while, or maybe an EP. It depends on what happens, I think, once we start actually recording and writing and what we... gather, because we kind of want to work on stuff over the winter time, and then probably then you know it's like if I kind of hibernates a bit over the winter and then get ready for the springtime.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah,
and you know, to your point with the releasing tracks at a time, like that seems to be the hip thing to do nowadays. Like a lot of people seem to be like track for track, even though I love the album, you know, the idea of an album, it does seem like people are doing that a lot.
I like the idea of a body of work and, right. and having a flow to it where mm-hmm. it's, you know, you kind of tells a bit of a story.
Yeah. Right. Me too. But you know,
that's not the general consensus.
It doesn't seem to be, it seems
well,
to be,
I think the general consensus is just get the shit out, get it out. Right. If you have one song, put it out there.
Well, that's what a lot of the younger cats are saying. It's like volume. It's like, you know, albums take time. This is, I'll have 30 tracks out in 30 days and not think about it again. But again, there's the other side of it, which is the concept of an album, the feel mm-hmm. of an album, sure. you know, the vinyl, the whole inner liner vinyl. Notes yeah. and shit like that.
That's where we brought up the idea of an EP, you know, a four-song mm-hmm. EP, have two singles on it and maybe two B-sides. And
yeah.
Do something creative or start a theme, you know, could throw out two-part EPs and obviously release the singles as they come out and get them done in the same studio. So we'll have our time to take our takes and get them right. how we want them to, and can always remix them, you know, for a fuller album. And
right.
So, but... Yeah, there's the artwork could be fun with a four song, and I think you could have a piece with something to listen to.
So. Yeah, and the track, like the music's so interesting that EP is, you know, like a four track EP is
could be an perfect, a mini experience, you know?
Yeah,
it could work into the four tracks, kind of have a vibe to it,
right.
and you know, and then you change that vibe on the second EP, and you know, yeah. just we. We have our mind controls set. We just don't know how to tweak them, which way to tweak them yet. Because, you know, all these new tracks are in our iPhones that need to get on 2-inch tape.
Right, right, right. Well, it's awesome that you got it all set up, ready to go. And the winter's here, so, you know.
It is.
So you're going to have to get working on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You tell me when you're ready.
Huh?
You tell me when you want me to go for
eventually. So, I mean, most bands we have in here, most of the members are in other bands and doing other projects. I know Chris has Glassfalter. Are you guys doing any other, are you guys in any other bands or have any other projects going on?
Yeah, my 3-year-old and I have a band.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're called the Zoes, I believe. And we switch our piano playing together and percussion. We have a lot of pots and pans
right.
and spoons. Should be gigging soon.
That's good parenting.
That
right
is.
Yeah.
They made our opening track for when we play live. It's hilarious.
Actually, that's true. Is our two and a half minute intro music as we approach the stage is
that's
me and my daughter and I.
That's awesome.
Messing around. So you know, she got a little piece.
Nice, so, nice.
So that's all I'm doing right now is making sure I grow a human up right.
Right, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
It ain't no big deal.
Not at all. No. Yeah, not at all. Just
Austin,
everything.
Do you have any side action?
I haven't messed with it in a while. I used to do some electronic music, but it's been a while. Yeah, maybe this will get me back into it again. Get the juices flowing.
Right.
Once we get recording, I don't know. But yeah, I haven't done it. I haven't played with anybody till. When I played with them, it had probably been, probably about a year since I played with someone.
A human.
Yeah.
Right.
But I haven't had a band for probably a couple years now.
It's been a while since you were on stage, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't actually played a show since I can't even remember.
So was the holiday party his holiday party?
Yeah, it was the first time.
First time you've been on stage in a while.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that was a great. I forgot you weren't there. I've seen him at two variety shows.
I know. Look, I know. I'll be there tomorrow night, but they won't be. Right. Well, you'll be.
Yeah, Chris will be there.
Right.
Be there, yeah, for sure.
They were a blast. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's awesome.
And then what about Alex? Do you got any side bands or side hustles?
No, I barely have time for this one. I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home.
Well, I got
Hey,
you.
Simon and Artie.
Yeah, so, you guys are busy.
I'm trying to learn some bluegrass acoustic, so it's going to be a long battle, sure, but it's pretty fun. And my wife, Allie, is trying to learn banjo, so... You know, we kind of fantasize about having a little duo.
Yeah, you guys.
She has a much better voice than I do, so I figure I can kind of back her up on some melodies for stuff.
She's trying to learn the banjo. Does she play something now?
No, she doesn't really.
So she's trying to learn the banjo first. That's probably pretty difficult, right?
Probably. I've never tried it myself. So.
I feel like learning the banjo, I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you have a ringer that can at least... You know, you at least can explain like finger technique a little bit.
Some of the mechanics are
similar. Like she has a little bit of a head start with she bangs a ringer. You know, it's like
she has She also has like a live-in banjo tech because I already restrung it and everything for her.
So right.
That's,
so you,
I mean, that's something.
You already have it figured out, right? If you have the instrument figured out, you know.
So even like a fiddle, the violin and a fiddle, like what's the what's the difference between those?
There's no difference. I mean, they just call it a fiddle if it's played, you know, with like Americana, bluegrass type music.
Right. So it's technically, I mean, it's essentially the same
violin.
Instrument.
Yeah.
I guess different speeds.
So,
maybe.
You roll Devil When Down to Georgia? In the,
I can't do that.
You said, fuck that.
Have you ever tried?
I've never tried, no. Yeah. Should we try right now? You got a guitar?
Do you have the fiddle?
No.
Oh, on the fiddle. No.
Don't.
On the fiddle.
Because he will not let this go. If you have the damn fiddle, you're going to have to play it.
Got to see
I always carry one in my car, so.
Right. It's like a spare tire.
Yeah, it's nice.
The humidor.
So are you, what's up?
Yeah, you can, can move your, move on.
So Austin, we like to go into film. Do you like movies?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So Desert Island, or actually last time we did this, you're in jail for life. They give you a DVD player and TV.
Three DVDs.
And you have three DVDs for the rest of your life. What are they going
to
be?
That was a good way to put it.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. Oh, now, hold on. Don't go too quick, Austin. Don't go too quick. Unbreakable. Bruce Willis, like Unbreakable. Yeah. Unbreakable. I love Unbreakable.
They didn't need to make a sequel. It was perfect.
Now,
he's pulling something up.
I made a list just the other day of like top movies. That's funny.
He's ready for this question.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can go past three, baby. I mean, you know, like we got time. I mean, you know. Unbreakable was one of those movies that I didn't give a shit about when it was out in the theater. I had no interest in it. And when I saw it, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I've still never seen the other two.
Split.
Glass.
The last one you don't need to. Split, I argue. Did you see Split before you knew it was a sequel to Unbreakable?
No.
Okay. See, that's where...
No, yes, I did. So it was a surprise to see him at the end, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So when the very first time I watched Split, I was watching Split.
It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. But like, it's years after Unbreakable. You're not thinking Unbreakable
All.
Yeah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden at the end, they pull this rug out. Spoiler alert. I guess we're being pricks.
It does,
fuck
them.
It's been like
it's 20 years since he was
fuck
dead.
Off.
30 years.
Yeah, he was dead the whole time.
But the fact is that... I like that rug pull. Now, I do think they went too far with Glass. It was a huge missed opportunity.
Yes.
But great one. Go ahead.
I'm going to put Empire on there. Empire Strikes Back.
That's one of the great...
That's a good one. Yeah.
Everybody is...
That was always my favorite until Rogue One came out.
Probably Unforgiven.
Love Unforgiven.
Those are three great movies I could watch over and
that's
over.
That's Woe Davis special. Yeah, Unforgiven. We saw that many times in the theater, I believe.
It's another. It's just perfect.
Perfect film. Yeah. The end of Richard Harris's career. I think it was like the last movie that he played.
I think Dumbledore was his last role.
You're right.
He died died during Harry Potter, and then Michael Gambon took over.
You're right.
Yeah.
But who else? Was it Morgan? It was Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman,
right.
Clint Eastwood.
Gene Hackman. Yeah, incredible film. I love that movie.
Had a very William satisfying Bonney. Ending.
Yeah.
Even so, do you dig
so
westerns?
Bad that you had to, you kind of felt sorry for Bill.
I do. My dad was a big western guy, and his favorite's probably Once Upon a Time in the West. So
nice.
I've seen that quite a few times. Real good.
So you're old school western as well as Unforgiven.
Yeah, I'd probably
or
say
Sergio
I'd probably,
Leone.
Yeah, I do. Style. I do enjoy the music, especially.
Yeah, right. But Benicio, right? Morricone or whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking Clint Eastwood movies are the greatest. Clint Eastwood westerns, all of them.
Yeah, they're all good. I mean, you know.
I was always a fan. I haven't seen a lot of John Wayne westerns, but I have seen some.
I've seen a lot of them. I feel like I respect John Wayne, but I got to tell you, like.
Do you?
I just feel like Eastwood would have whipped John Wayne's ass the time.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and. Because
he would just shot him.
Any Eastwood movie other than like the real early ones, like they're way harder than John Wayne movies. Like that's why I just don't see why he's always this like, hi, I'm the tough guy, you know? And it's like Eastwood doesn't have to say shit. I don't know. It's not about Eastwood or me. Ryan, let's go here with you.
Let's go.
Three movies. You're in jail for life rotting. And you have a DVD player and a TV.
Let's see. I have to go with the early Time Traveler, Back to the Future. Ooh. I got to coop it all three into the one movie.
That's fine. We're fine with trilogies.
I'm one of the few that loves part three. Like it's almost my favorite.
I was going to throw that being my favorite.
Yeah,
is that right?
It is a western. Yes.
Hot take. Yeah. Right.
What's
okay.
That?
Well, we've brought up part three, Back to the Future three. To Woe's point, like I love Back to the Future three, but a lot of people apparently hate that movie.
Part three.
I love like Outlaw Biff. Dude. Like,
it's great. Everything. It's so clever. It brings that whole world into the series. I mean, you know,
and if you remember,
eclectic.
When you saw part two in the theater, the end credits had the preview.
Yeah, right.
For part three.
Yeah, they shot it all. Right, it was there. Like the Lord of the Rings style. Yeah,
it's
shooting
the perfect
schedule.
Transition between two and three. Like it's such a good fucking movie.
Still analyzing those movies, and you know, still getting a kick out of them, but. Gosh, can I use them as all three?
You can use them as all three.
We get a lot of Godfather trilogies.
That's so funny. No, you're saying
like
all three. Like, you don't want to pick any other movies?
I literally have a half sleeve of Back to the Future tattoos.
So. Holy shit. So let me hold on. Yeah, we'll hover here for a second. So
he's got the skateboard, too.
So it's the film itself is like what compels you, but the story, is it the time travel aspect and shit as well? Or
I mean, at a young... young 80s kid. I'm talking skateboards and a young kid and some science.
Yeah,
and
you have a half sleeve tattoo of Back to the Future?
I do. It's in progress. But,
really?
Did
you ever get to do the Back to the Future ride at Universal?
I did.
We got to do that a lot.
It was pretty awesome. I still have some swag from that.
Nice.
But yeah, on Back to the Future Day, I believe it was November...
5th, I think.
October 21st, 2015 was
October 21st, 2015.
I believe it was, and that was the day I set my appointment, and we started this half sleeve and just trinkets and stuff. You know, my sleeves not
good for you.
Yeah,
I love
awesome.
Your
I got,
commitment
I check
to
it out.
Back to the fucking future.
Yeah, that's
baby.
Awesome.
That's
wow.
My shit. Like I love that
it's
kind
just,
of
amazing.
I mean, it brings a lot of worlds together, and like I said, as in my 40s now, it means even more. You know, speculations of what these films are really uncovering and what is truth in plain sight.
Absolutely,
this is heavy.
Yeah, man, boom. Especially Gray's Sports Almanac and all the betting and nuttiness that's happening right now, even though it has nothing to do with time travel.
Easter eggs and complexity, man.
Yeah, it's very strange, some of the things it speaks to. But good stuff. Great pick, man.
I'd have to say that.
Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Hell yeah.
You always kind of remind me of Buford Mad Dog Tannen, what, Davis?
The Michael J. Fox, like local annoyed me a little bit.
Hey,
hold on. The great grandfather or whatever he was in the movie. Or
yeah, Seamus.
He was good. He was just a pussy.
Right.
Got a hurt man here.
Right.
It's horrible.
Buford Mad Dog Tannen. Hold on. Well, never mind. All right.
What? But then I love that his henchmen in that are all the same actors. Billy right. Zane's one
Casey
of them, right?
Simesco, yeah, yeah. Billy Zane.
They're all, but they're all in all the movies.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you trying to say over there?
I can't remember it.
Oh, you forgot.
Well, it was
on purpose. Mad, you kept saying Mad Dog.
I know. It has to Buford do with that. Dog, and all of a sudden, I'm going to yell at
ZZ
you.
ZZ Top? No.
If you would just relax, maybe it would come to me.
That was a cool cameo in the third one. Season.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Big time. All right.
It's not coming to me, so fuck it. We're going to move on. Alex, let's do it.
Wow, yeah. The hardest part of this question is, the being stuck with it for life or whatever. Because there's so many movies I love, but I don't actually want to see them that often.
Yeah, that's why we're trying to go for if it's got to be your favorite, whatever that looks
Our
like.
Our buddy on the last episode changed the rules.
Right. Now we're going he kind of came rules. The category whittled yeah. down to the
Well,
prison.
He's a lawyer.
So okay, yeah, yeah.
He's a defense attorney, yeah. So he came up with the rotten in prison, right. DVD player, three DVDs.
Right. Oh, geez. He must not be a very good attorney.
Right.
Like,
he's
rotting
a spectacular
in prison.
Attorney. Spectacular attorney.
All right. Well, I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Yeah,
Empire and Raiders
maybe,
are in the running.
Yeah,
the
I mean, that's a great one, too. But
I got to go back and tally these votes.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, I don't know. For me, it's like one of the greatest movies ever made, if not the number one.
First movie I saw in the theater.
Yeah, I mean,
if
I saw
watch
it as
episode one, you'll hear that. Go.
My favorite thing. Do you ever watch The Big Bang Theory?
Not really, no.
So there's a part in The Big Bang Theory where Sheldon Cooper and Amy, his girlfriend, he says, he's holding the DVDs, like, this is the greatest movie of all time, like, changed my mind. And she says, Indiana Jones doesn't matter in the movie. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, his character's irrelevant. If he wasn't in the movie, the Nazis would have still found the Ark, and everyone would have, they would have opened it, and everyone would have died. And, like, Sheldon's jaw's on the floor. He's like,
yeah.
But
I
disagree. I love the movie. It's fantastic, and I can
it's
watch it over
phenomenal.
And over.
Yeah, I can
it's
watch it
perfect,
over and over.
It's a perfect
I've
movie.
Seen it
but I always
probably
think that's
50
funny.
Times. Yeah, and I mean, you know, the third one is good as well. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take the easy way out and do it.
Wait a minute.
Raiders stands above all of them.
Me too. Although I love all three. I like Temple just fine. I think Crusade's much
Temple.
Better than Temple, yeah. But Raiders is...
Well, Temple or Last Crusade kind of ties more back to the Nazis, like for
Raiders,
for
right.
Raiders,
sure.
Yeah. But Crystal Skull's terrible, but the
Dial
of Destiny,
I didn't
good.
Hate. I thought it was okay. Yeah. I hated Crystal Skull though.
I loved Dial of Destiny. I just fucking Phoebe Waller-Bridge just was such an asshole. I've said this before. Like would have let him die several times in that movie
yeah,
if he didn't
was
save
very
himself.
Selfish.
And it was
she
his was... fucking niece.
I know. Hey, look, you know, well, what are we going to do? You know?
Did you see Dial of Destiny?
I never got around to seeing that.
It's
one.
Good.
Yeah.
It's definitely good.
Well, it's, yeah, like Crystal Skull, eh. Dial
but,
of Destiny
but Dial
is
of
Back
Destiny,
to the Future type
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, Dial of
like,
Destiny
go,
still
like,
has like a
know,
wild, like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like, it's all right. Like, it's Damn. It's worth it.
We'll go back to the fucking shit.
Okay, yeah, so where was I? Number
Raiders.
Two.
You just
two,
said Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, things that I would want to be stuck with, The Nightmare Before Christmas
That's
ooh,
one of
is
That's
one of my favorite
one.
Films.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I just, like, in terms of, like, what a staggering, like, work of art Absolutely. In terms of the music and the story, the like, it's funny and ridiculous and the artistry of it. I mean... Love that movie, and I could watch it all the time, and I do watch
With
it on
kids,
pretty much
yeah.
an annual basis.
And it was groundbreaking. I mean, it
yeah.
was like I'd never seen any shit like that in a full
yeah.
film.
That
like
movie
that,
is
you know I mean?
1989, I think. Right?
No,
it was
90s
because so.
We were
was
on
it?
Acid. Yeah, like we saw it.
I have
acid.
Seen that movie
I'm
on
not
acid.
Kidding.
That is
yeah.
a fact.
Yeah, like I mean, Paul and I used to watch it in the trailer,
and
that,
James and
the so it had to be 1993.
1993.
I knew it.
And then, yeah, it's tough to pick in terms of what I'd want to watch over and over again. Because I'm tempted to say Pee Wee's Big Adventure, but I don't think I would watch too much of that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Pink Floyd Live from Pompeii.
Wow, look at you.
That film, I mean, that really wrecked my mind when I first saw it. And I, you know, there's so much there. Like, I love Pink Floyd. I could listen to it over and over. It's such a powerful, you know, aesthetic vision that's like, I mean, it's incredible. So.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because I worked in a video store in the 90s, and one of the videos I stole was Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii, and we used to watch that shit all the time.
Damn.
And just for those who don't know, it's like the band set up in the ruins of Pompeii.
And the Colosseum, right?
Well, it's the ruins of Pompeii, whatever...
Well, that's a whole city.
It's like a Colosseum.
Yeah, it's a Colosseum in Pompeii.
It's not the Colosseum.
Yeah, like I never got exactly what...
It's so fucking
what,
good. God, it's so
but
good.
But it's like visually stunning. It's the audio's phenomenal. They're young as shit. They're hungry. It's pre-Dark Side.
Yeah,
you know,
interspersed
like,
with them recording Dark Side. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like it's during that era, you know, it's perfection.
Yeah, they're just playing these like thundering Pink Floyd epic songs for like an empty ancient auditorium.
Yeah.
You know, full of the like ghosts of like thousands.
God, they were
right. Echoes.
Yeah,
they do a version of Echoes. It's fucking phenomenal.
Man, that's the first time anybody's mentioned that.
Yeah, that's a great pull, Alex.
Yeah,
coming in hot.
All right,
all right, Chris, we got it.
Raiders
what
Nightmare
do you got?
And Pompeii.
Well, whenever you kept saying Buford, I thought about Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, God, Sheriff right.
Buford
T. Justice, dude.
Justice.
Greatest character ever.
One of the greats.
That
Diablo
that
sandwich and a Dr. Pepper and make it fast. I'm in a goddamn hurry. You want something, Junior? Hush puppies, Daddy. We ain't got time for that crap.
Hush puppies.
Yes.
I mean, that's a great one. I could watch that over and over again.
That is
100%.
I haven't thought about that in a minute.
So that's up there. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Man. You know, so when's the last time you watched it?
Oh, it's been years.
So I literally watched
it. I lived it, man.
Yeah, right.
Which character?
That's a good
Spicoli.
Question. Okay.
Spicoli.
You weren't Ratner? You weren't Ratner?
No.
Or Damone. You were Damone. You were Damone.
I would have been. No, I probably would have been Judge Reinhold. I don't know.
So I literally watched Fast Times last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I haven't seen it in a minute. I mean, it's been like 5 years. Or so. I mean, it's been a while. But... First of all, it's wonderful. It's fucking hilarious. It's the soundtrack's incredible. It is hilarious, but it is risque.
Yeah.
Like Phoebe I mean, Cates. Like I know. Well, I'm saying like I mean, other than Phoebe ew. Cates, you have to
Jennifer
remember
Jason Lee.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. Yeah. When I mean, she's I young. Guess she was 18. She had to be 18, right? I mean, but like I'm watching it the other week, and I'm like. This is nutty. Like what? Like she's damn young, and I'm like, holy shit! Like it was wild. Like, and now I'm like, I still love it. I mean, but like when I watched it, I was like, man, like the '80s were
she's
different.
She's 18,
I guess. She's
probably 18.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I'm saying
good
like
question.
Good. Yeah, like look it up because
you would feel good about yourself.
Like, well, no. Again, I'm still gonna watch the fucking movie, and I don't make any judgment on it. But it's one of those things that it never occurred to me until recently. Like as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, she's damn young, and I'm like, well, she's got to be 18, and I'm like, I don't know if she is 18. Mm. Like she looks young.
Well. She's 63 now. I mean, she's 13 years older than I am. So she was definitely 18 when that movie
in
came out.
In 84.
She was 21 while filming. Man, she played
thank God.
A 15-year-old. Like, her character was 15, but she was actually
21. Man, she looked young, and I was
she's
like,
supposed to be
damn. 15?
She's supposed to be 15 in the movie.
Yeah, and she's
she gets,
like...
She's pregnant,
yeah,
right?
She's yeah, she's getting banged in the
college dudes,
yeah, like you know, she gets pregnant
by
Damone.
Damone gets her
I'm
pregnant,
going,
right?
Holy shit! Like,
yes, Damone gets her pregnant.
Yeah,
Holy shit, it is.
And he's like 25 right. in the movie.
Right.
Like his character is much older.
He's hawking tickets or, you know, scalping tickets and shit for the Blue Oyster Cult and stuff. Still a great pull. Right. Still a great pull.
Mr. Hand.
No doubt about it. But rewatch that shit and in today's world and just be like, wow, they can't make them like this anymore.
It's funny though. Yeah. Like, when do you think the last time you saw that movie was?
Oh, it's probably 10 years.
10 years. Okay. Because Brian's like, man, I rewatched it. I saw it so many times, 2 years ago.
No, 5 years ago. In 5 years, like, my mentality is like, I'm watching it going, oh my God. Like, you know, but it's still fucking great. And I
He's probably fucking 18 in the movie.
Yeah. Sean Penn was great. That was one of his best roles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was so good. The last one, though. I think with having kids, you know, some movies, like, they'll watch movies over and over again.
Right.
Like you were talking about with, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like, I mean, that's just a great one, you know. But I love Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That is such a great one.
You've mentioned that, and I still haven't seen it.
It's an all-star cast. Yeah. It's Wes Anderson. And
it's Clooney, right?
Yep.
It's Clooney. It's a great custom pick. It's all of them. Yeah, it's like it's so well done. And I love stop animation, and it's so well done. Oh my God, I've watched it hundreds of times.
That's
got to
be on the top of my list. You've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's Jacob's favorite Wes Anderson movie of all time.
It's
like
really
he
good.
Is like, and so I watched it with Jacob, but I've only seen it once. But I
but does
it, was
it have the
phenomenal.
Aesthetic of Wes Anderson movie as a
absolutely
movie?
Yes,
it
absolutely
does. same
but
style.
But it pays homage to the book. Like it's based on a child's book, I guess, or whatever you would call that. But and so it has the it pays homage to the original material, but it's still Wes Anderson-y. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned a minute ago Sean Penn.
Yes.
And his best performance of all time. And I didn't even mention this to you because my mind is shit and I just stuff comes in it like this. So last night I watched one battle after another and it was Sean Penn's finest hour. It was the best performance of his career.
Really?
He plays, I mean, he is a son of a bitch, but it was fucking
I have no idea what phenomenal. That movie's about. None.
Dude, don't look into
right,
it.
No, I don't.
Let it ride. You are on
Benicio
a ride.
Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn.
It's two hours and 40 minutes from the get-go.
Is it really that long?
It is a rocking fucking.
Is it one battle after another? Like action?
Absolutely. And, yeah, like it was fucking phenomenal. But Sean Penn, man, like when you just said that's his best performance, I was going to be like, let me tell you. Well, Kleinfeld was my favorite, but I'm telling you, man, his name.
I forget that's fucking Sean Penn when I watch Carlito's Way. Have you seen Carlito's Way with Al Pacino?
Oh, Chris.
One of the greats.
Brian De Palma made Scarface.
He's the lawyer. Yeah. Kleinfeld. He's got like a perm, and you forget it's him because he's such a piece of
shit. It's the 70s in New York, so he's a lawyer, a coked out lawyer, and he's got the 70s like fro like horseshoe.
It's a great movie. Oh, it's one of Al Pacino's
best. Art Garfunkel. It's the Art Garfunkel.
Yes. One of Pacino's best.
But that's right, and Penn plays that guy. He looks like our Garfunkel, and
that's got a great kid. That's Al Pacino, Viggo Mortensen, Luis Guzman, John Leguizamo's in it.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
And Sean Penn, and who's the girl? The girl
Penelope Ann Miller.
Penelope Ann Miller. Yeah. She was from
Kindergarten Cop. and Year of the Comet. Yeah. Your Year of the Comet.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah.
There's another one?
No, it was a movie.
Hey, that's the one where everybody turns into the dust?
No.
That's the Night of the Comet.
That's Night of the Comet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen either one of them.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's Night of the Comet.
Is it a horror movie?
Technically.
It's like a...
It's from the 80s. 80s
schlock.
I just had my wife watch it the other day. So we just watched it.
Is that right? Yeah. You voluntarily put in Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when's that movie from?
The 80s.
Yeah, early. Yeah, it's probably 80s. Early 80s.
And I want to say, yeah, look it up and tell me if anyone relevant. Who's in it? No one relevant.
Oh, I don't think
right?
anybody relevant.
Right. That's what I mean. I 1984
feel like,
but film. Sometimes, like in the early, like there was a movie called Frogs from the late 70s, early 80s, and Ed Harris is in it. And it's like, you know, so it's
Jeffrey
like,
Lewis, he's in it.
Oh, shit. That's Juliette Lewis's old man. Yeah, he's from, a Clint Eastwood from, guy.
Yeah, he, Any Which Way You Can and Any Which
yeah,
Way
Yeah, like
you
if lose. You remember Clint Eastwood movies, Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can, where he plays a bare-knuckle boxer with the orangutan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His brother.
Right turn, Clyde.
Yeah, yeah, his brother is Jeffrey Lewis. Like the guy in that movie that always wears his hat backwards.
Yeah.
That's Jeffrey Lewis.
And books the fight
yeah, yeah.
is Jeffrey
and
Lewis.
And Juliette Lewis's dad, yeah.
Yep, yep. That's good shit. Well, gentlemen, this has been fun.
I don't
and
know.
I love the band. I'm gonna start jamming out to it once you show me where they're at, where you're at on
oh,
Spotify.
Dude, here's some serendipity. Kelly Maroney is listed first in the cast, and she, like, I looked down. Kelly, she's an American film and television actress. She appeared in the films Fast Times at Ridgemont High
oh,
and Night at the Comet.
Wow. Fast Times alumni. I wonder what she was in Fast Times.
I don't
Time.
Know. That's what she looked like.
She's the main girl?
No, not the main girl. I don't recognize her.
That's
she
her sister.
Like a,
maybe she worked at the mall.
I mean, she's 59 years old. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Oh, that's her now. Was she? I feel like she might have been a friend or background
yeah,
character.
Yeah, I swear I feel know. Like she worked.
You just together. Watched it. You don't
I know,
remember?
But you know, my head is shit. I told you that. I tell you that all the time.
Oh,
you know
Jesus
that.
Christ.
Gentlemen, this has been really fun, and yes. I think the band's phenomenal. And Chris,
thank you.
Do you have anything? Do you, well, first of all, plug the band, I guess? Or
yeah,
where?
No, you said you got a gig coming up. It's not till April, but we can discuss it at Zen West, right?
That's correct, yeah. We just played a show, I guess, a couple weeks ago at Ledgewood Skate Park, and there was another band there called Gods, and we're playing with them. It's a hip-hop group. And so it's going to be like, I think it's going to be kind of a hip-hop night, but they're putting us on as well. So
nice.
That's April 16th.
Nice. It's
Zen
cool
West.
Seeing shows at Zen West. I got
yeah.
a nice setup there now.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait to be there. I kind of live
Ryan's
the,
old haunt.
It is my old haunt. And
yeah.
Mr. Poe runs that business pretty well, and he's turned it out.
Yeah, I took
cool,
I had
cool
Poe
room.
Take Brian down through the phone booth down to the speakeasy.
Right.
That place is cool.
My wife has had my surprise 40th there at the speakeasy.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nice.
All my friends were there, and Poe took me through all the underground tunnels, and
it's yeah,
took
it's
me
such
the back
a,
way.
Such an interesting bar.
Can't wait to
and
make
I like
some
having
noise.
The venue there now.
Yeah,
we gotta get down there.
Yeah, I got it? Some. There's some things coming
sure,
up because this episode will be out November 30th. This is the next episode.
Okay.
We're quick.
Cool.
Monument Lightings on December 4th. Be there for that.
Nice. Right.
Love Nut with Splitsville at the Wrecker on December 5th. That's going to be a good. Splitsville. Are veterans of the lounge. And the Checker Spot Holiday Market on December 6th. Checker Spot's one of our newest sponsors. We'll make that official announcement soon.
But, yeah, we love Checker Spot. Yeah, we're going to get some of the beer in here.
Dennis will be running. Well, this had already happened. Tomorrow we're going to Chris's Sharp Dress Man holiday party, but
that's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. It was fun.
Right. Speaking of Back to the Future, it was a gala.
It
event.
Was a great time. Yeah. I won lots of cash right. on the tables for charity.
Let's right, do right. another.
Right. So is there anything any individual wants to plug? Like is there anything you guys wanna like
socials,
social media
anything,
or anything,
anything.
Like
to
that.
The moon to the moon Baltimore at to the moon Baltimore's Instagram
correct
that's your page on Instagram yeah.
yep
that's and as we said it's on Spotify and Apple Music just don't be stupid like me and
yeah.
you know find it
it's even available for Instagram Reels. I have two I search for it and I can't find it but I have two songs saved for Instagram Reels. I have Tides and one other song.
It's
interesting.
It gets a little saturated with moon in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
So you gotta kind of prioritize the song name or
right
name.
Right
if you know that that's the key
right right right.
Instant relief.
Yeah,
I dig it. And Mr. Chris, you Sharp Dress Man's going strong.
Yep.
We're very proud and thankful of all you do, you know, that kind of on that end of the spectrum.
Thanks, man.
And congratulations on the store, because it's you just hooked the 15-year, or was it 15?
Yeah, it's 15-year anniversary.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Had a big party for that, and we played that, and that was the first gig with the new lineup a month ago, and it went over really well.
That was
a great
party.
That's what he was like. He was calling me all night going, dude, this fucking band, you're going to love this band. That kind of shit.
Yeah, great band, great party. Yeah, that was awesome. Cool party. We were just talking about that. It was like five different parties, because there was a party on every floor. There was an event on every floor, and then the outdoor patio. That was fun. You got to do that like every month.
That was a variety show. That was kind of
great. We got to wait till 15 more years to have that party now.
Yeah, five. Nah, I'll do something big at 20. But
yeah, it was cool.
Let's go 17. When you hit 17,
and then we should mention. Casey, you're up in Manhattan, did the big white uniform for Stavros. That was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was cool. He put that on his tour poster that's coming up, that his European tour. He's wearing that suit, so check that out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. All right, gentlemen. Well, this has been wild and awesome. Let's go listen to the jams you guys laid down before this. Stay sane, Baltimore.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.